approach Thanksgiving this coming Thursday, I think according to God's Word and according to what He says, I think we need to give thanks and praise not only here at Highland Avenue, but at Walmart too. And not only Walmart, but everywhere else we go and in everything we do. The idea that God wants us to have, what He wants us to do, is give thanks and praise continually. Doesn't He? That's what He calls us to. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for an opportunity. Once again, You've given us another day of life, Lord. You've called us here. Each person is here by divine appointment. They're not here by accident. This is the place that You would have them to be. And Lord, it's an opportunity to give You thanks and praise. As we've been doing this whole service, as we've been worshiping You in spirit and in truth. Lord, teach us now what You desire. Teach us to give You thanks and praise, not only in our services, our worship to You, but Lord, continually. Teach us to do that. Lord, move me out of the way. We need to hear from You on this. We need to hear Your voice. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, usually you think about giving thanks and praise in a setting like this. In general, when you hear somebody say, "Let us give thanks and praise," your mind kind of focuses on a setting like this, a worship service and an experience like this, a time to give thanks and praise. But we need to give thanks and praise continually. This is a wonderful setting to do it, and God would have us do this. This is His will. But He wants us to give thanks and praise Monday through Saturday. He wants us to give thanks and praise in our car, in our home, in our workplace. He wants us to give thanks and praise at Walmart. Let's let Walmart just represent everywhere outside of the worship setting, everywhere outside of a service like this one today. We'll let Walmart represent anything outside of church. Psalm 34:1 tells us this. It says, "I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord always." There's never a time that we shouldn't bless the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 100. And we get some wonderful instruction here from the Lord on praising Him and thanking Him continually. Psalm 100. And so the question for you and for me today is, how do I give thanks and praise continually? Well, let's hear God's answer in Psalm 100. Verse 1, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." As I was preparing this message earlier this week, in one of my devotionals, in some time I was just spending with the Lord, I noticed this. Someone wrote this about the domino effect of praise. It says this: when praise becomes a lifestyle, it has a domino effect. You know what a domino effect is. That's where one change causes another, which in turn causes another. When you tell God how wonderful He is, how much you love Him, and want to spend time with Him, you're more likely to find your mate, or you substitute it, that loved one or whoever in your life. As you praise the Lord in those ways, you're more likely to find that person telling you how wonderful you are, how much they love and enjoy being around you. Over time, your family and friends start to feel the effect. On the other hand, when you withhold from God the praise He deserves, you deprive yourself of what you need in your own life. David said, "Magnify the Lord with me." And then a little bit later, "Let us exalt His name together." That's in Psalm 34:3. God inhabits or occupies, sets up house in, and makes His dwelling in what? God inhabits the praises of His people. When we praise God, He lives in those praises. He is right there. We bring Him right there. He inhabits the praises of His people. That's Psalm 22:3. When you tell Him you're wonderful, there's no problem you can't solve and no need you can't meet. I'm casting all my care on you. I know you love me, and I'm not going to give in to depression and defeat. I'm trusting you to conquer my enemies, break down the doors that are locked, and give me victory. When you pray like that, when you praise Him like that, God sends angels to fight and win the battle on your behalf. That's in Hebrews 1:14. No wonder David said, "I will praise you more and more." It works. In that verse that I tried to quote earlier, I couldn't think of it. Psalm 34:1. "I will bless the Lord at all times." Continually. Continual praise. Well, how do I do it? How do I give thanks and praise continually? Well, the thing that I noticed that I had never noticed before about Psalm 100, as many times as I've read it, and I'm sure you've read it, the first three verses seem to indicate that could be praise anywhere. It's not until verse 4 that he gets to the worship center, the sanctuary, the temple back then, the place of worship. But the first three verses, he's talking about praising God, praising the Lord, giving thanks, and it's away from the worship setting. Or it can be. It encompasses that. But then, in verse 4 and 5, it's like we move into the sanctuary. We move into this setting. And God tells us how to give thanks and praise here in this setting. So let's look at the first three verses first. If we're going to learn how to give thanks and praise continually, let's learn how first at Walmart, outside of this setting. So to give thanks and praise at Walmart, first of all, the first step here is verse 1. Look at verse 1. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Well, that's the first thing we need to do outside of the worship setting. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Well, that's everyone. He said all the earth, everybody. And he's talking about non-believers alike. He's talking about everybody. This is just a call to humanity. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Well, when is he saying to do that? Surely it's when you feel like it. Surely it's when you just kind of bubble up and you just want to praise him, right? No, of course not. God doesn't specify there at all. He commands us, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." And it doesn't matter how we feel. Our feelings are irrelevant. We might be having a terrible, awful, horrible day. We might be having a horrible year. But the command still stands, doesn't it? God still says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. We see it again in Philippians. "Rejoice in the Lord." When? Always. Y'all are good. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." He says it again. And you know, just like it mentioned at the end of that devotional, it works. That's the truth. You know it if you've done it before. I remember one time I was having just a terrible day. And this was years ago. I remember specifically just driving down the Southern Boulevard somewhere around Baptist South, and I was heading toward the old Montgomery Mall in that direction. And I just remember having a terrible day. This day couldn't get any worse. And And something hit me. Must have been the Lord. Must have been the Holy Spirit. But the word I got in my spirit was praise the Lord. That God wanted me to just praise Him. Now that was real hard to do. When you're not feeling good, when you're feeling awful and the world's coming apart, that's a tough time to do it. But we need to obey God. We need to listen. We need to obey Him and do it. And I tell you what, so I started praising Him. And you know, you can go through the alphabet. You say, well, I don't know what to praise Him about. Well, praise Him. Well, you can start at the A's and say, Lord, I praise You because You're awesome. Lord, I praise You because You're beautiful. Lord, I praise You. And you can go on and on. You can always praise Him. And I tell you what, I remember specifically doing that. And just after I praised Him for a little while, just those other feelings were gone. I was just focused on the Lord now. I had a joy about me. And that's what He calls us to do. He calls us to praise Him no matter how we feel. And when we don't feel like it, maybe that's the sacrifice of praise that the Scripture tells us about in Hebrews 13:5. Now, on the other hand, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. So sometimes we don't feel like it. We still need to do it. On the other hand, sometimes it does just bubble up, doesn't it? Sometimes we just want to praise the Lord. It just hits us, our blessings, and we just want to praise Him. It just comes out. Christian, my 6-year-old now, last time I told you he was probably 5. Birthday's November 17th, but he had his birthday celebration this past Friday. He was turning 6. And Friday morning before school, I just wanted to get him excited. I just wanted to tell him about the whole, he knows about the birthday celebration, but I just wanted to remind him what we were going to do that night. And so I told him, Christian, you know what? Right after school, what's going to happen? You're going to come home. We're going to get all packed up. Everybody's going to get packed. And then we're going to go to that hotel, the Holiday Inn Express over at the Middleton exit, because they had an indoor pool. We're going to go to that hotel, and we're going to check in there, and y'all are going to start swimming, you and your brother and sister. And then all your friends are going to go. You're going to have some friends over, and then you guys will get to swim together. And then we'll have some pizza. And then we'll have some cake and some ice cream. You'll open presents. And he just said, oh, my goodness. He said, I'm about to die. Well, what was that? That was just the praise bubbling up, wasn't it? Well, you know what? The funny thing, that same day, this past Friday, a couple days ago, I had been praying for some things for a long time, for some situations. That particular afternoon, I just saw God do some awesome things working on behalf of our family, and I saw about 2 or 3 things all just come right together just perfectly, and I was reminded of Christian that morning just saying, oh my goodness, I'm about to die, and I was shouting for joy to the Lord. I was in my car, but I was saying, oh my goodness, Lord, You're about to kill me. In other words, I can't believe You're doing all this. This is incredible. I just praise You. You know, sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Shout for joy to the Lord. Now, we can do that. We can do that in the car. There's nobody else listening to you. You can do that in your personal worship. Remember, we're away from the church at this point, right? We'll get there in verse 4 and 5. But you can do that in your personal worship. You're spending some time with the Lord, and you just read a passage of Scripture, and oh, something just hits you, and you know God just gave that to you. Just shout for joy to the Lord. Praise Him. So we can, and we can certainly do it at church. Now, we don't do it so much here at Highland Avenue Baptist Church or any other Baptist church I've been into, but you could go to a Pentecostal church somewhere. You could go to a non-denominational church, and you can go and you can shout a praise to the Lord right there. Maybe we need to learn some more from them. But we can shout for joy to the Lord in those times away from church. And I don't mind if you do it here. Well, secondly, shout for joy to the Lord. How are we going to give thanks and praise continually? Well, first, remember, shout for joy to the Lord. And then secondly, God tells us, worship the Lord with gladness. worship the Lord with gladness. Now, if I asked you right here this morning, give me a definition of worship, do you know how many different responses we would get? Do you know how many different things that people would say? Well, worship is this. Worship is this. Worship is so big, so hard to define. Matter of fact, we did that one time in seminary. I remember I had a class on worship, and that's what the professor did. How do you define worship? There was about 20 different answers. But just a few things that stand out to me is to meet with God, to worship God is to meet with Him, to be with Him. You've probably heard it said before, it's taken our mind's attention and our heart's affection toward the Lord. Putting our mind's attention and heart's affection on Him. It's to love Him. It's when we express our love to Him, we're worshiping Him. It's to give ourselves to Him, Romans 12. We offer our body as a living sacrifice. That's our spiritual act of worship, where we just say, oh God, I love You, I praise You. You know, I'm not only going to give my tithe right here, but Lord, You've got me, I'm Yours. I give You myself. Worship. And there again, in verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Is it when you feel like it? It's not just when you feel like it. It's all the time. And notice he says with gladness. Let me just ask you the hard question. Are you a sour saint? He said, worship the Lord with gladness. Notice he said, worship Him with gladness. Do you look like Jesus when you come into a setting like this to worship Him? Do you look like Jesus? Imagine Jesus. What would Jesus look like worshiping in that temple like that, worshiping His Father? How do you look when you come to worship? And notice he said, worship the Lord with gladness, not with depression and sadness. He said, worship the Lord with gladness. It's kind of like the little boy that was sitting in church with his mom, and there was a man in front of him a couple pews ahead, and the man looked back and just made a little joke with the boy, and the little boy started laughing and smiling, and his mom said, shh, don't smile, we're in church. That's not it, is it? That's not it. Worship the Lord with gladness. So we need to shout for joy to the Lord, worship Him with gladness. And then notice it says, come before Him with joyful songs. Now we're in great shape here. We've got Chris Palmer to help us with that, don't we? And we come into His presence just like we had this morning in the choir. Come before Him with joyful songs. Well, but there again, what about at Walmart? You know, well, we've got that time of personal worship. What's stopping you from singing there? You might be spending some time with the Lord, and why don't you sing your favorite hymn to Him? Or maybe there's a spiritual song. Maybe there's another song you heard on the radio, or just a joyful song. He tells us to do it right here, not just here in the worship service. But go ahead and sing to Him there. Sing to Him at home when you're worshiping Him. You can do it in your car, of course. You can do it in the shower. You can sing praises to the Lord. And you know, God's given us so many wonderful tools today. We can use radio. There's Faith Radio, 89.1. I don't know if you've heard it, but He's done a number on me through that radio station. You can just keep it on. And the songs of worship, everything is just worship on Faith Radio, the teaching and the songs. And just let it play in the background, in your car, wherever you are. And if you own a business, hey, there's a way to witness right there. Maybe just have that Faith Radio turned on in the background. And so we can worship Him using radios. Of course, there's CDs. You can get some worship CDs. Or maybe you use an iPod today. Maybe you're getting technologically advanced and use the iPod. And you know, the Scripture mentions to praise Him using hymns and songs and spiritual songs to one another, even singing to one another. And you know, and it's a witness to others too, isn't it? If you're in Walmart and you've got a great song on your heart and you're just kind of singing it to the Lord as you're driving there, and then you're kind of singing it a little bit there in Walmart. Somebody hears you. What are you singing about? What is that? And so to praise Him continually, let's shout for joy to the Lord. Let's worship Him with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And I kind of put that with verse 2. But then next, know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. You need to focus on who He is. You need to know who He is, and then you need to know who you are. That's what this verse is calling us to do. Know that He's God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are the people. We are His people. His people. The sheep of His pasture. Know that the Lord is God. And what does that mean? We need to acknowledge Him. Acknowledge who He is. Now, we talked all about this last week, didn't we? It's coming up again. Well, away from this setting, away from the worship service, has anything been happening when you've been looking at stop signs? Be still and know that He's God. If you weren't here last week, anytime you see a stop sign, let it remind you of Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that He is God. Know who He is. Think about His attributes, His character. Lord, I praise You. You're sovereign. You're omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. You're eternal, infinite, immutable, self-sufficient, holy, righteous, love, merciful. Abba, Father. Just praise Him. Know who He is. Think about who He is. Acknowledge who He is. And then realize who you are. Realize who you are. It is He who made us, and we are His. You know, I'm just what He made. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. You're not your own. He made you. You're His creation. You're His. You didn't think yourself up. He created you. You're His idea. He made you, and He loves you. You know, for some reason, it reminds me of cookies. You know, I can make cookies. You know, maybe there's a baker and he makes these cookies. Well, those cookies are His. He can do whatever He wants with them, can't he? He can use them as frisbees and throw them around if he wants. He can eat them. He can give them to his neighbors as a blessing. He can do whatever he wants with those cookies. Well, he made you and he made me. He can use me for whatever he wants. I'm his. He can use you for whatever he wants. He's the baker. You're the cookie. He's the potter. You're the clay. We don't have a right. We don't have the right to say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Or we've got to realize whose we are, who we belong to. Know that He's God. He mentions we are His sheep. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, that's not a compliment. Sheep are not smart animals, are they? God tells us that He is like a shepherd. Jesus mentioned it. Jesus said that I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And God makes that illustration. He gives that comparison that we are like sheep. Sheep are very dumb animals. They can't take care of themselves. They can't guide themselves. They can't protect themselves. They can't provide for themselves. Matter of fact, if they're left to themselves, they'd probably die. They're built for the shepherd. They have a need. The shepherd, they have need of the shepherd to provide for them, to guide them, to protect them, to take care of them. God says, that's you. You won't make it on your own. You can try. He'll let you. He's a gentleman. He'll let you try to live your life on your own, do whatever you want, think you're your own, you belong to yourself, think it's all about you. He's a gentleman. He'll let you think all that if you want. It's not how you were made. It's not what you were made for. You're made for Him. You're made to be under His lordship, under His care of the Good Shepherd, under His protection and provision and His guidance, where He wants to take you and what He wants to do with your life. And it's a blessing. And that's the place where we're fulfilled, where we're taken care of, truly taken care of, like we've never been cared for in our lives. That's the place. Well, we can do all of that outside of this place. We can worship the Lord. We can give thanks and praise in our personal time and at Walmart. In other words, everywhere else, Monday through Saturday, by doing those things that he mentioned. But then let's bring it right here. Let's bring it to Highland Avenue. When you come to church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, let's look at that in verse 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. What's he talking about there? Well, of course, back then, as you enter the temple gates, the place of worship, the temple, or even back further than that, the tabernacle, when you go through that entrance, then you come into the courtyard of the temple or the tabernacle, this place of worship. What does God tell him to do? Enter his gates. As soon as you walk in there, as soon as you go through the gates, to be thanking him, do it with thanksgiving. Be thanking him as you're coming in. And then when you go into the courts, praising him, giving praise to him. Well, what does that mean for us here at Highland Avenue? Well, you could certainly look at it as each entrance, each parking lot entrance, there's your gate. There's your gate. And when you come here, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let that be a marker from you from now on. As you turn into Highland Avenue Baptist Church, as that car crosses that line, you're entering that gate with what? Thanksgiving. Immediately start thanking him. Just be thanking the Lord. And then why don't you let each of the doors of this building be the courtyard? Maybe this building is the courtyard. And as you come through the door, enter his courts with praise. As you come into the building, maybe switch to praise and just start praising him. In your mind, in your spirit, just, you can go through the ABCs if you want. Just start praising him. Have your heart ready. Be giving him thanks and praise as you come to worship him. Well, think about that right now. How do you enter? How do you enter the gates at Highland Avenue right now? How'd you enter this morning? How'd you enter the courts? How'd you come into the building this morning? Let's do that. Let's enter with thanksgiving and enter the gates with thanksgiving, enter the courts with praise. Well, why? Why do we do that? God shows us in the last verse here in verse 5. Why should we come to Highland Avenue and pull in the parking lot and be thanking him? And then why should we open that door or have that greeter open the door for us and we walk into his courts just praising him? Why? Why should we do that, Lord? In verse 5, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Look at your bulletin. Look at the front of your bulletin. His love endures forever. He is good. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He's faithful. Even when you're faithless, you may be having a bad day. Sometime you might be completely faithless and just not even aware that he's around, just thinking he's not even with you anymore. Your faith is so weak. You're just at a low point. But you know what? The scripture tells us he remains faithful. When I'm faithless, when you're faithless, scripture says he remains faithful. And so for those reasons and so many more, that he's good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations, then we need to enter the parking lot with thanksgiving and then come in here into the building with praise, giving thanks to him and praising him. His name. What's His name? It's the sum of who He is. A name in the Old Testament times was the sum of that person, was the sum of who someone was. Praise Him and thank Him for who He is. Well, finally, let's apply it. The application for your life and for my life is this. With the question being asked, how can I give thanks and praise continually? You remember, you start now. You can go back to this Psalm 100 anytime. You can learn this. You can commit this psalm to memory. But you go back and remember, first and foremost, outside of the church, Monday through Saturday, wherever you are at Walmart, shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Have a song in your heart. Be listening to a song. Know who He is. Know that He's God. Know who you are, that you're not. And then anytime you come here, when you turn in the parking lot, enter those gates with thanksgiving. And then when you come into the building, enter those courts with praise. Start right now. And then you'll be well practiced by this Thursday, by Thanksgiving. And then continue it. We need to live it. Live thanks and praise continually. Pray with me. Dear Father, we do thank You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are. Oh, what a wonderful God we have, Lord. It didn't have to be this way, Lord. We could have had an angry, vengeful God that gave us what we deserved in our sins. Oh, but Lord, we praise You. You are good. You are kind. You are compassionate. You are gracious. You are merciful. Lord, You have not given each one of us, each sinful human being here, including myself, Lord, You have not given us what we deserve, death and hell. Lord, but You've had mercy on us. And Lord, then You've given us what we do not deserve. Lord, You've given us eternal life, abundant life here on earth. Lord, You've given us Yourself. You've made Your presence known to us. You're always with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Lord, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for every blessing, that You're good, that Your love endures forever, that nothing can separate us from Your love. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. Lord, may we do these things. Would You remind us of all these things, Lord? Give us reminders, Lord. Monday through Saturday, when we're away from this place, reminders to thank You and praise You, Lord. Whether it's a stop sign, whatever it is, give us reminders. Let us thank You and praise You continually. Teach us, Lord. Thank You, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.